Can you hear me now? How many has got a job you want to quit? How many has had a job you wanted to quit? I remember getting a job one time in a donut shop. And they said I could have all the donut holes that I could eat. After a week of eating donut holes, I didn't want another donut. Oh, me. Several months ago, our pastor was preaching on John chapter number 21. And one of the things that I noticed there as he was preaching, and that was sometimes people want to quit a job that they've done, and that's about the Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter. In our day, we have what is known as PTSD, which is post-traumatic syndrome disorder. Many have suffered from that, especially some of our military that have gone away to war and come back. And I think maybe Peter may have had PTSD, but they knew nothing about it in that day. So Peter dealt with some of the things here in his life, and it just caused him to want to quit. And I'm going to deal this morning with about four reasons why people want to quit church or the ministry. Let's just read here in John chapter number 21. Begin reading there in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. Simply saying, I quit. And they said unto him, we'll go with you. Always remember, if you quit the church or if you quit a ministry, somebody will want to go with you. And so here they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find them. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. May the Lord add his blessings here to the reading of the Word of God. Many times people want to quit ministry, or many times people want to quit a job simply because of the things that they have to go through. Number one, many people want to quit their job because of the draw of the world. Peter has had a difficult time trying to be the disciples that the Lord has called him to be. And if you look at the background of his life, you'll know several things on why he's discouraged at this moment of time. If you remember there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the soldiers came to get the Lord Jesus Christ, there Peter was, and when the servant came up, the servant of the high priest, Malchus, he comes up to get the Lord Jesus Christ, and here Peter is, and he draws out his sword, and he makes a swipe at the man's head, only to get his right ear. Now, I realize maybe it's not important to you to notice he didn't get the left ear, but he got the right ear. And you say, why did he get the right ear? Well, you got to go back to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter number 29, there in verse number 28, where it talks about when the priest was consecrated to the Lord. You remember there that the right ear was the one that received the tip of blood on the right ear, which was a symbol of divine communication and spiritual guidance there to the Lord. So we notice here Peter is in trouble trying to defend the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular moment of time. And Jesus speaks unto him and rebukes Peter and told him to put up his sword. But those who live by the sword is going to die by the sword. Then Peter follows the Lord Jesus, if you remember, into Pilate's hall. And as he was there in the courtyard, he was recognized by a young maiden that saw him, and she began to say, "He's one of them of the way." And what did Peter do at this particular moment of time? The Bible said that he cursed and he swore that he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had already told Peter, if you remember, he says, "Before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." I don't think Peter liked chicken after that morning. I don't think the prodigal son, I don't think he liked the pork after he got out of the pig pen. And I don't think Jonah liked fish after spending the time in the belly of the whale. Now, I hope you like fish for next Saturday, because we're going to cook a bunch of them, and we're going to have a good time out there, amen? And we're going to cook up hush puppies, and we're going to cook up chicken, and what else you say, hot dogs, I believe, for the kids. And we're just going to have a great time out there. So bring a good appetite over there to the park on Saturday, and we'll have a good time. So we know here that in chapter 20 that it deals with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember, Mary Magdalene, she did not recognize the Lord Jesus Christ when he came out of the tomb there. And then you note there on the Emmaus Road, if you remember, they did not recognize the Lord Jesus until he revealed himself unto them. And they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" And so here in John chapter number 21, verse number 1, it says that Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. So we have here, Peter has quit his job of trying to be a disciple because he's failed. If you remember, he couldn't walk on the water very far because he looked around and he saw the waves around him there. And he began to sink down. And he really cried out to God and he said, "Lord, save me." And the Lord picked him up. So on several occasions, Peter has become frustrated with himself, and he decides that he's not doing a good job being a disciple for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what he decides to do, he says, "I'm just going to go back to something that I know how to do. I'm going back to the matter of fishing because I know how to fish." So a lot of people become discouraged. A lot of people want to quit because of discouraged in the work. So here he is. He's going back to fishing. He says, "I know that I can catch fish." This reminds me of another young man many, many years ago, moving his family out of Demorest, Georgia, into Union County, Georgia. And by the way, y'all didn't have anything when we got here. You didn't even have a good grocery store. I mean, a chain store. We just got McDonald's, and I'm moving away from that. Y'all didn't have McDonald's. Y'all didn't have Kentucky Fried Chicken. I think you had a Tasty Freeze. Something like that. And so I remember moving my family here to a church, and they said it was a full-time church, and it was. It was a full-time church. They wanted you 24 hours a day, but they didn't want to pay for a 24-hour day being a pastor. And so here I am. I've been in this church. I started in February of 1982, and by 1984, I decided I don't want to be a disciple for the Lord anymore. I mean, I've had to go out. I've had to get a job. I've done away with all of my savings, and everything is just about gone. And so I had to go to Gainesville Hospital that day to see a person that was having surgery. They had surgery that morning. And something in the back of my mind says, go back by Ethicon. That's where I work, Johnson & Johnson. We made surgical suture. I'd make surgical suture. I'd go back and work on those machines. I know how to do that. I'm not doing a good job being a pastor. But if I can just go back there. And so I go back by there. Here's my boss man. He's sitting in his office there. He tells me how glad he's good, how much he's glad to see me. And so we talked a while and we discussed several things. And I said, well, I better get across the mountain. And I remember him looking at me and he says, I just want to tell you here, the old job that you left here two years ago, that job just come back available. And you can have this job back, plus you're going to get a raise. Okay. And I said to him, well, let me pray about it for 2 weeks. Now, church, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really want to pray about it 2 weeks. In fact, I'm ready to move now. But I told him, I says, I'll pray about it, and then I'll come back by here and I'll talk with you in 2 weeks. I know how to make surgical suture. I know how to work on those machines that are there. I can go back there and I'll get a raise. And I was making good money there at Ethicon at that particular moment of time. And I'm coming back across the mountain, and the devil's saying, turn around and go back and get the job. Go back there and tell him you want the job. And so I came home, and every morning I'd go down to the church and I'd fall on my face before God. I'd say, God, you know, I want to go back. Things is not good here. I don't even think they love me as a pastor. If they did, they'd take better care of me and my wife. So I prayed about it for 2 weeks. 2 weeks came by, and somehow or another I wound back up in that same office where I'd told him I'd come back and talk to him in 2 weeks. I didn't quit. I didn't go back to Ethicon, and I stayed 23 more years with that church. And I remember on my 20th anniversary, they were celebrating 20 years. And I didn't know it at that time, but they were fixing to give me a trip of a lifetime. After 20 years of pastoring that church, they said, you can have a vacation anywhere you want to go, and we're going to pay for it. Well, okay. I decided I'd go to Alaska. I'd never been to Alaska. So I'm going to Alaska after 20 years. And they played a little game with me that day. They had a bunch of people in the back there. They had a microphone with them. These people are supposed to talk to me. And I'm supposed to tell them who they are. And so back in the background, there's two men back there. One of them is a man by the name of Fred Blackburn, who was my boss man at Ethicon. There was another man that I drove a truck with, John Warwick, and they're on this microphone. And of course, I detected John Warwick because of some things that he said. And so they come out, they give me a hug, they go back and they sit down. 20 years after ministry, and after I had told him that I would not come back to Ethicon, here they are sitting on the back pew of the church celebrating with me 20 years of ministry. Had I walked away from that church that day and went back to Ethicon, I want you to know I probably would not be standing here before you today proclaiming the Word of God. I don't even know that I'd be alive today. I remember that day when I said, Fred, I can't come back. Here's a big old guy. He walks, gets up from his desk, walks around with tears dripping down his face, and he put those big old arms around me, and he hugged me till he almost squeezed all the breath out of me, and he said, "Please forgive me for asking you to come back to a job. You've got a job. You need to stay with it." So here I am 52 years later, and I'm still at it. Not only when a big tree falls in the forest, it will take down some little trees with it. And anytime a man of God quits a ministry, he'll take some others with him. I remember that first pastoral, and I remember going to a little Bible college. And I remember going in that room that morning, and I think it was either 23 of us or 26 of us. I can't recollect just exactly. But everybody in there was excited about being a pastor. Everybody was excited about preaching the Word of God. And I remember the professor walking into that room that night, and he was congratulating us for being there. And just a night or two later, I mean, he came in and he says, "How many's read the Bible through?" That was his question. "How many's read the Bible through?" Well, I raised my hand that I had not. And I remember Dr. Moore coming over to me, and he was a little bitty short fella and had his glasses down on his nose like this. And he looked down at me and he said, "Young man, you're in here to be a pastor of the church and you've never read the Bible through?" And I said, "No, sir, I hadn't." He said, "Why haven't you read the Bible through?" I said, "I've read most of it. I've never read the genealogies." How many of you read all the genealogies? How many of you read the book of Leviticus? Was it boring? And so he says, "Oh." So anyhow, my assignment was to read the genealogies. I don't care anything about the genealogies. So many people want to quit because of the difficulties of the way. After Jesus came here on the shore, and they didn't recognize him, and so they've been out fishing all night long, and he says unto them, "How many fish you caught?" And they said, "We fished all night long, and we hadn't caught anything. I thought you knew how to fish. I thought you wanted to go back to the fishing business because you could fish." Now, I don't know, but the night that they had fished all night long, Jesus somehow or another had diverted the fish away from the net. How wide do you think that boat was? 10 foot wide? 12 foot wide? And what does Jesus say unto them? "You didn't catch anything on that side of the boat, so why don't you cast the net on the other side of the boat?" So there was a miracle about 10 or 12 feet away. You see, sometimes we quit too soon. And so I come back to this church, and when I tell Ethicon I cannot come back to them, I'm out and I'm building houses and trying to make a living, trying to feed my kids and trying to pay the light bill and the gas bill and everything else that was going on there. One day, somebody wound up in the hospital and they were calling for the pastor to come and be there. I'm off down yonder in the Timbuktu and I'm building a house and I can't be at the hospital. And these people kind of got upset because the pastor couldn't be at the hospital. "Pastor, why couldn't you be at the hospital?" "Because I'm out driving nails trying to feed my family. I had a job I didn't like after cooking donuts. I had another job when I was going to school, and that was cutting putt wood. How many's ever cut putt wood for a living? What a joy. I'll never forget the day when a man pulled up and says, I want to buy your truck and I'll throw the chainsaw in for nothing. What a blessing that was. So a lot of people quit because of the difficulties in the way. If you remember here, Jesus didn't ask Peter, do you believe my doctrine? He didn't ask him that. Is my doctrine right? And I believe your doctrine needs to be right, but I think you need to love the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a question that Jesus asked Peter when he says here, Simon, do you love me? I mean, here we are. He didn't ask Peter had he repented of his cursing and not being able to walk on the water. He didn't ask Peter had he been baptized or anything like that. And he didn't ask Peter, did you keep my commandments? He just simply said here, Peter, do you really love me? I believe a man can pastor a church and not love the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe a man can teach Sunday school and not love the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you can sing in the choir and not love the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you can just sit on the pew and not love the Lord Jesus Christ. So do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's play the game of pretend. Let's play the game of pretend. Let's pretend that I'm not here in the pulpit, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's standing there. And you're the only one sitting in the building. Excuse me. Church is empty. You're sitting on the pew. Jesus stands up and He says to you, do you love me? What's your answer? Do you really love me? I say, do you really love me? So what does He say? If you love me, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Feed my. Pastor, what keeps us going? 52 years, you've got a long way to go yet. What, 40? About 40 more years. Jennifer, what are you going to do with him after 40 years?
Help us, Jesus.
Somebody said to hope he didn't have cannibals down in Ecuador because he'd be a meal for a month. I had to say it. That's what they said. Peter, do you love me? A lot of people want to quit because of the difficulties of the way. When you're sitting at the hospital wee hours of the morning, when you want to be home with your family. And by the way, our pastor has a family. Give him time to love the family and raise the family. Be a daddy in that home. Be a husband in that home. And oh, I know you've all got questions you want to ask him. But is it really that important? Peter made a profession of faith, just like many of you have. You've made a profession of faith. But do you love the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Just making a profession of faith doesn't necessarily mean you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what Peter said back in Matthew chapter number 16? He says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's evaluate that just for a moment. What kind of grade would you give Peter on his profession of faith? Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. On a schedule from, or on a number from 1 to 10, 1 being poorly and 10 being good, what would you say in the profession of faith? Would you say, Peter, he's just a 1 or is he a 10? I remember when I got saved, and another guy got saved along the same night with me in this little old church down in Atlanta. And I didn't know, I hadn't been in church in all my life. I didn't know what church was like. And that night after the preaching of the Word of God and conviction upon my heart, and I went down to an altar as I guess people are supposed to do. I found out you don't have to do that. You can get saved wherever. I heard about a preacher that got saved in a cornfield. I knelt that night and I didn't know how to pray because I've never prayed in my life. But I do remember saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. That's basically it. I went by my brother-in-law's house that night because he laid out of church. He didn't love Jesus that night. But I went by his house after church and my wife says, Jerry got saved tonight. Well, he grabbed me up and run all over the house with me. He's a big old guy. He's more happy than I was happy. And he was going, whoopee, hallelujah, praise the Lord, he's saved. Well, also that night, another fellow got saved, and he ran all over the church. He was hugging people everywhere. He was just doing all kinds of things. We was both going to be baptized on the same Sunday afternoon. We went down, and we got into the baptismal pool, and the preacher said, do you have anything to say? And he says, and he gave this big long testimony there, and the preacher baptized him, and he came up out of the water like to drown it. Everybody in the church, I didn't know where there's going to be enough water left in the thing for me to be baptized. And he came out of running. He was shouting. He was doing all these things. And the preacher said, you got anything to say? I said, no. And so he baptized me. Nobody said anything. Nobody was excited. I didn't know it then, but I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things had passed away, and behold, all things had become new. 2 weeks later, the old thing showed back up, though. And I thought I was lost again. That guy that shouted and run all over the building lasted about a year. But the devil used that on me. He said, if you'd have really got saved, you'd have done like him. You'd have shouted, you'd have run, you'd have been happy. You'd have thrown the rest of the water out of the baptism pool. I've often wondered where he's at. Of those 23 or 26 guys that sat in that room that night, we committed ourselves to God. I only personally know that 3 of us that's still in ministry. Why'd they quit? Some of them ruined their marriage. Why'd they quit? Why are you thinking about quitting? Little church I pastored the first time. Me and my wife had a little walk down from the church through the green grass. And about every Sunday night, I'd hold her. That's back when we were courting. I mean, we'd just been married a short time. And I'd hold her by the hand and I'd say, I'm going to quit. I was wanting her to argue with me. I'd hold her by the hand and say, I'm going to quit. She wouldn't say nothing. Why don't you say something? Why don't you say you can't quit? And I had a long list telling her the reasons I wanted to quit. But I didn't quit. Many want to quit because of the disillusion by God's will. This year, if you lose your health, don't lose your faith. This year, you may lose a loved one. Don't lose your faith. This year, you may lose a job or a child. Don't lose your faith. The Lord didn't ask Peter about his position. You realize you can be a preacher, you can be a deacon, you can be a trustee, a Sunday school teacher, teacher in school, a professor in college, member of a church. You can serve on a committee. It's not who you are in a world, but do you love the Lord Jesus? He didn't ask Peter about his performance. He didn't say, Peter, why didn't you walk on the water? I told you to come to me. Peter, you know I love you. Why did you curse? Why did you curse in the garden or in the courtyard? Why did you tell that young girl out there that you didn't know me? Why'd you do that? Peter threw the net on the other side of the boat. How many fish did he get? How many fish did he get? Tells you. He caught 153. Said the net was full. They couldn't get it in. And so here old Peter is. He jumps out of the boat, swims over there. Jesus is walking on the water. And they fished all night, hadn't caught anything till they cast the net on the other side. And here Jesus is, and he's got breakfast ready. What's he got for breakfast? Fish and hush puppies. That's what he's got. You read it. So they dined up on fish and hush puppies. You know, there's many people that can do wonderful things. God give you a gift of doing all kinds of things. Some of you could sing in this choir because you got the voice for it. Some of you could teach a Sunday school because you've got the ability to do that. Some of you could serve on a committee. Because you've got the knowledge to know how to do that. Some of you know how to push buttons back there in that sound room. And I think they do need help. Ain't that what they said? They need help. Some of you can push buttons back there. I can go back there and stand. This thing would be a mess the time I got done pushing the buttons. Many of you can do wonderful things for the Lord. But listen, there's something that we can all do as well as any other. Maybe you can't sing in the choir. Maybe you can't sing. Maybe you can't teach Sunday school. Maybe you can't serve on a committee. But there's one thing that nobody's got a monopoly on, and that is, don't quit. Stay in the race. Lay aside every weight, never sin that so easily besets you. and run in a race with patience. Years of ministry. Have there been times I wanted to quit? Have there been times I didn't want to preach? 52 years and I'm still nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof when I stand to proclaim the Word of God because I fear God. He can stop me breathing anytime he wants to. I fear God. My wife does something every Sunday, just about it for our whole family. She cooks a dinner. I'm talking about a dinner. I'm not talking about a sandwich. I'm talking about a dinner. I'm talking about a meat, cream potatoes, cornbread, cream corn, green beans, fried squash, okra. Anything else you can put on that. By the way, kitchen's closed today. She don't start on Sunday morning. She starts that on Saturday. Because she knows they're all going to be there. And I don't think I've ever seen any of them get up from the table and say, that's a bad meal. They'll get up and they'll rub their stomach and say, boy, that's good. Sometimes the kids will... The girls, they'll fix the dessert. That's good. Some of them takes a plate home with them to have for the next day. And then we still got food left, and Mary began to call some of the older ladies and said, would you like a plate of food? And I hadn't seen any of them turn that thing down. And you say, well, I'll take one. We'll give her your number. Why does she do that? And by the way, I bet I've cut up a boxcar load of potatoes over the years. You know why I do that? That same family that she loves. I love to. When they got a problem, Mom and Daddy's got a problem. And if I were to quit, they'd have to walk beside a hope chest someday and look over in there and say, Dad, done pretty good for 50-something years. But he quit. He quit. He quit. Are you ready to quit? Are you ready to go back to something like you did before? I quit a good job years ago because I had to work on Sunday. Many times I go back to that call. I can't explain it. But I go back to that call that stirred in my heart that I never got over. Still ain't got over it today. Four Brother Tommy comes to lead us in a song with a group. A little video I was watching the other day. And if y'all can play that video, showing here a person that didn't quit. Can y'all play that for us? No.